has been so good to me. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with your neighbor and say, he's been so good to me. He's been so good. He's been so good. Been so good. Been so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. So good to be back together again. And when you're gone, we do miss you, every one of you. And we're so glad to be back together with you again. And just have a simple little message here tonight, but it sink in is my prayer. Amen. We're really, really thrilled to have our brother Sam C. with us this week. And I recall, I think it was 3 years ago, Sister Baker and I went to Brother David Gonzalez's meetings in Johannesburg. It was actually Florida. It sounds funny saying it, right? Florida Fellowship in near Johannesburg. And then Brother David took us around. He took us as far as Zimbabwe, and I got to meet our brother. We were just there for a couple of days, and I got to meet his father, and we had a wonderful time. And I was telling him today that, you know, it's not a statement about other people. It's just some places you go and you just fit in right off the bat, and other places you go and they need to study a little bit more to determine whether or not you fit in, and that's okay. It's just how it is. This is just one of those times where we went, and it was a hand and a glove. We just had a wonderful time, and I decided before we left there that we wanted to have him come to our special meetings. And the following year, he was applying for his visa, and there were some complications, and so by the time he got his visa, it was too late for him to come here. So he did go to other places, and then he was to be with us this last February. And as you recall, there was an accident, and he went home to be with the Lord. And I expect to see him on the other side. But anyway, if you had have met his dad, you'd say this was the chip off the block here. They're so much alike, and just appreciate his spirit. So he's studying at the university. Is it actually in Des Moines? Yes. So in Des Moines, Iowa, and he's attending and has been attending Brother Isaiah Brooks' Higher Ground Tabernacle. And so I'm just a little bit jealous because, anyway, he'd be with us this week, which we're so thankful that he thought about us to come this way, and then goes back home, and then he's going to fly home for the summer. I'm just glad that summer was delayed a little bit, so while he's here with us, because otherwise it'd be in the hundreds already, right? And the fellowship back home is the East Leah Tabernacle in Harare. And as you can well imagine, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are or how well prepared you think you are, when the leader is moved, taken out of his place, you know, the devil doesn't take a day off. But the Lord has been good and faithful, and they're about to choose their next pastor, I believe. And so just keep them in prayer, as we would, I'm sure they would in our case, keep them in prayer, that the Lord just continue to prosper that work and encourage and strengthen each one. And we don't understand why things happen, but we understand that he has control of all things. So our confidence is in him. So, you know, the very same week, Brother McGowan was supposed to be out with us. You recall he was with us the year before. And did he barbecue for us? At one of our after services at our special meetings, and he was to be with us this last year. And he likewise was in a similar boating accident and went to be with the Lord. Same within a couple of days. So it's not for us to reason why, but that's another one we expect to see. And praise the Lord. Just another motivation for you tonight to make sure you make it, because there's some fine folks that we want to get reacquainted with. So, hallelujah. I'd like to read from Matthew, the 8th chapter tonight. We'll start at the 5th verse. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. 85 degrees today. I'm sure I don't remember a year like this. It just the unfortunate part is that the rest of the country has to suffer so that we can get good weather. They're just having all kinds of rain and tornadoes and everything else just so we can get a late summer. I hope it's delayed long enough that the rains start before the summer starts, and it'd be all right with me. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. You know, seeing how we're meeting in the building and swamp cooling and all that, I mean, it could have been. I'm sorry to keep going on about the weather, but I can remember April when it was in triple digits. So, Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wow, what an attitude. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. A Gentile. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, how many times have we heard that? According to thy faith. Amen. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. You know, they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. Friends, there's scripture that must be fulfilled. Amen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, you know, we can look at this and we can say, well, of course, that was written about him, and so it had to be fulfilled. Well, what about the scripture that's written about you? Amen. Doesn't that have to be fulfilled? Amen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Aren't you thankful tonight? Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to be gathered together once again. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters back safely, Lord. And we thank you for the times that you give us to get away and to get a little rest and get our batteries recharged. But Lord, we're here again, and we've got our plate and our cup. And Lord, we ask you to fill our cup, to fill our plate, Lord, to minister to our needs here tonight, Lord. We have needs that we know about, and no doubt we have many, many more needs that we aren't even aware of. But Lord, you're mindful of all things. And so we've come, Lord, with great expectation, and we come surrendering, and we come believing here tonight, Lord, knowing that we're not going to leave the same way that we came. And Lord, we don't want to leave without expressing our love to you, our thanks and our appreciation. And Father, just to make love to you once again. Bless each and every one, Lord. We ask for a special blessing to our brother Sam C. and Lord, to his church back home, and Lord, to for wisdom in the selection of the next bishop of the church, Lord, the next ox bearer, Lord, the next bearer of the burden. And Father, we just know that you do all things well, and we commit it all into your hands. Father, bless each and every one now. We give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. So, we'd like to title the thought tonight, Casting Out Spirits with His Word. Amen. Casting out spirits. The method hasn't changed. Amen. Casting out spirits with His Word. Now, we know that wherever Jesus went, He changed the atmosphere. It was never a neutral atmosphere. Something changed wherever He went. And He would change the atmosphere. And you couldn't be in His presence and not be affected. You would leave differently than you came. You'd be sad, glad, or mad. But somehow you would be affected. Somehow you would be changed. And so those that came into His presence, they were lifted from the realm that they were living in. You know, our regular day-to-day normalcy. They were lifted from that everyday place that we all live into a higher realm. A realm that was full of possibilities. A realm that where changes could take place, where the impossible could take place. A realm where hopes went beyond hopes and they became realities. And you know, it's just so easy for us to get into routines of life and to accept the conditions of life as they are, as if there are things that just cannot be changed. But wherever Jesus goes, all things are possible. Wherever Jesus is, all things are possible to them that believe. How many believe tonight? We don't have to be bound by circumstances. Our circumstances don't dictate what's true and what's right and what's in our future and what's predestinated, what our destiny is. We don't have to remain sick. We don't have to be bound. In His presence, all things are subject to His Word. We just need to have confidence in His Word. Demons have to flee. Sickness has to back up. Now friends, it doesn't have to back up to me, so I don't have to worry about facing down sickness and worrying about whether I'm blinking first or sickness is blinking first. It's not me. It's not you. We're the messengers. But it's the Word. As we brought up as an example in times past, my sister was a messenger for my mother. And my mother would send my sister out, and she'd come to me and she'd say, "Mom says it's time to go in." And I would get so upset with her, and I didn't want to give in. Because I didn't want my year younger than me sister telling me what to do. But guess what? I went home. Why? Because it wasn't her word, it was Mom's word. I didn't like how she said it. She had littler muscles than me. I wanted to, you know, kind of pat her on the face a little bit. But I had to listen. I wasn't listening to her. I was listening to the message that she was sent to give to me, which was, it's time to go home. When we speak God's word in the face of the enemy doesn't have to back up to us. The enemy is backing up to the word. And in the word is the power. No matter how puny the messenger is. Hallelujah. Demons have to flee. Sickness has to back up. An atmosphere of gloom and doom has to give way to the rising of the sun. He is a way maker, friends. He wasn't a way maker. He is a way maker. He was a way maker 2,000 years ago. He's a way maker tonight. All things are subject to Him, and He is His Word. But knowing these things, will have no benefit to us. You know, we could study this and study it, and we could quote it back and forth and quote our favorite quotes, and that's lovely and that's nice. But these things will not benefit us if we fail to reach out and call upon Him in faith when we're in His presence. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what an opportunity that we have to come into His presence. Friends, we have the same opportunity that the disciples had 2,000 years ago, but we have more benefit tonight than they had, because He said, you know, it's good for you that I go. He said, you know, you're better off. You're all crying and you're all upset because I'm leaving you. He says, but you guys are going to be better off because I'm going to come back in spirit form. And I'm gonna teach you things that I'm telling you right now, but you're not getting it. It's not being revealed to you. You're hearing it with gray matter, but I'm gonna come in you. And I'm gonna reveal things to you, and you'll get it then. It's expedient that I go. Hallelujah. So what an opportunity that we have tonight. But sadly, the scriptures are just full of examples of individuals that came into His presence time and time again, and yet missed out on their opportunity. And afterwards, they were not better off. And many times, they were worse off because they failed to recognize the presence and they failed to recognize their opportunity when they came into His presence. Simon, remember him, the Pharisee? He invited him into his home and he was so caught up in the event and so caught up in the planning and what others were thinking and what he wanted others to think and what he wanted to benefit, what he was hoping to gain from the meeting, that when he did come, he left him in a corner and he ignored him and he did not benefit from his presence in the manner that he should have. He was so concerned about his position amongst the people and being the big shot and in holding this big meeting and he was so caught up in that he missed his opportunity when the guest of honor was in his home. Oh, friends, we invited him. He's here tonight. Let's don't miss out on our opportunity. We find Jesus bringing three men with him one time onto the mount that we now call Mount Transfiguration. And we realize that everybody didn't have that same opportunity. The whole church wasn't up there. There was just three individuals that were up there. And these three, they saw a cloud descending on the mountain, and they saw the Lord Jesus transfigured into His coming day, and it was such a special event, and it was just, they were just so appreciative, and they felt so honored to be there at this particular time. Peter was so excited that he said, you know, we should build three tabernacles up right here on this spot. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. And of course, if you go there today, the Catholics disobeyed Peter. Disobeyed the Lord, and there's three tabernacles here. One to Elijah, one to Moses, and one to the Lord. But they recognized their opportunity. They recognized it. I mean, it's unique to have that opportunity, and they took advantage of it. We can look back at the days of Noah, and we can say, you know, I would have gotten in the ark, I'm pretty sure, if I was living in that day. I would have went with the Lord's despised few. I would have took the Lord at His word. I would have withstood the rest of the world and got into that boat. We could look at the Exodus from Egypt, and we could imagine ourselves perhaps standing with Moses when pressure was coming against him, others were coming against him, and the Lord said, Moses, stand over here, and then the people had an opportunity to choose where they were going to stand, and we could look back and we'd say, well, I would have stood with Moses. And we could imagine maybe following after David when David took that stone and threw it at Goliath and took Goliath down, and then every Philistine ran off in every other direction. We could imagine being excited and running after with David to run after those other brothers and chase them down. We could imagine maybe standing with Elijah when he gave the challenge. He said, let the God that is God, let him bring the fire. We could imagine standing there and seeing the fire fall when everything was in place. And God was vindicating that He was the true and the living God. And we can look at all of the experiences that are listed in the Bible where God supernaturally vindicated His presence time and time and time again among His people. And today is no different, friends. And we wonder, you know, how is it that so many failed to recognize His presence? or failed to take advantage of being in his presence when they did come in his presence. Now, hindsight, they say, is 20/20. And what that saying means is when you look backwards, you see things with perfect vision. You see things at 20 feet that somebody with good vision can see at 20 feet. And so we say, you know, we have the benefit of being able to look backwards. And we say, you know, if Jesus would have been there, I would have taken advantage of that opportunity. I would have washed his feet. I would have done this. I would have done that. But when it comes to our day, now stay with me this evening. When it comes to our day, which is, if you think about it, it's the only opportunity you will ever have. When it comes to our day, I wonder how many times he comes and we let his presence go unnoticed. And not because we aren't believers. Of course, we wouldn't be here if we weren't believers. But maybe because we're so caught up with ourselves. Maybe because we're so caught up with preconceived ideas and we've got, or memories, and well, I remember how it was and that's how it's going to be. And so we come with that preconceived attitude to go along with it. Caught up in our problems, caught up in our routines, caught up in the gloom and doom. And we miss our opportunity because of routines. And we leave him in a corner somewhere. Not because we don't love him. Not because we don't care. But we don't even recognize that he came. Help us tonight, Lord. If we aren't careful, friends, the devil ends up getting worshipped. The devil ends up getting glorified instead of our Lord Jesus. Because we'll testify of the negative instead of the positive. How you doing? Well, sorry I asked. We talk to one another and we express our doubts sometimes and we express our fears sometimes and we express our questioning of his leadership sometimes. And then we testify to one another about how sad we are and about how bad our lives are. And somebody tells you something bad that happened, you say, well, that's nothing. You know, you don't know what I've been through. And we try to one-up one another with just how bad our day has been, how hopeless things are. And then the devil and his demons, they're high-fiving one another. And they're amening one another. And they're amening you. They're saying, that's right, sister. That's right, brother. Preach it. Say it again. Go through the first and second and third pull of all your problems. I caused it. I brought it to pass. Thank you very much. And our Lord mercifully and patiently looks on. And he's saying, he looks over to the angels and he says, you know, they're not speaking my word. And so in this situation, this atmosphere is going to remain as it is. Because I can't act on somebody else's word. I can only act on my own word. I sent them my word, but now they're confessing somebody else's. You go to churches, church meetings sometimes, and you feel a heaviness. And you wonder, did somebody die? You know, is there a funeral service going on today? And somebody forgot to tell me about it. And people feel like they're doing their duty by being somber and heavy and reverent, so to speak. It should be a, don't get me wrong, it should be a funeral service. Yours. You should be dying out to yourself. You should be getting rid of your thoughts. You should forget about your problems. You should forget about your worries. You should forget about your situation and what you think you deserve and what you don't deserve. And your mind should all be on him. You know, something has to die for something to live. And you don't get life from your death. I'm not trying to say that. But life can come forth as a result of your death. Because there can't be two living you in you at the same time. Hallelujah. Listen to this. From Perseverance, he says, we know what he did when he was here on the earth. If he was back here again on the earth tonight in a physical body, he would do the same thing he did then because he's the same. Amen. Well, is he here tonight? Amen. Then won't he do the same? Amen. Just forget about the body. Amen. He is here, friends, just as much tonight as he was 2,000 years ago. Amen. Just as much. Amen. No less. But I wonder if we're recognizing his presence as we should be. Help us, Lord. I wonder how many are still looking for something to come while missing what he's presently doing. And that kind of an expectation of something off in the future will cause you to miss what he's doing. He's come today as the revealed word of this hour. He's come and he's living out just what the scripture said he would do. Just as we read what the scriptures said that he would do then, we can read what the scriptures would say that he would do tonight, and he's doing it. Well, that was kind of weak. And it's just the same as if he was standing there in a one-piece robe and speaking that word. It's just the same tonight. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word. And the word hasn't lost its power. He's the same in every way. Sure, there's been a falling away on every side. Of course, we're not ignorant to that. Sure, there's darkness that's pressing in on all sides. Sure, the world is falling. Economies are falling. Morals are falling. All kinds of things are falling this way and that way. And there's deception everywhere that you look. On every side. But at the very same time, there are those that are not being deceived. Because they cannot be deceived. Because the word has declared that they cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. And they are uniting at this time with him. And there is no darkness in him. So when we're uniting with him, we're not sad. When we're uniting with him, I'm not saying you won't get sad, you will, but when we're uniting with him, when we're in his presence, you're not sad. You're not troubled. You're not tore up. And I'm not a TV set you're watching tonight. Enter in. Hallelujah. Let go and get over yourself. Amen. You're walking in a different atmosphere from the rest of the world. And it's not by accident, it's by effort. You're making a choice to do that. You can choose to be gloom and doom, or you can choose to walk in heavenly places. The choice is up to you. We are living in a special time. You hear the terms over and over called the bride time, and some will take that further than was intended and make it another age. It's not another age, but it's a time when he's working with his bride and not with the rest of the world. We're walking in his presence. And I hope that we're not missing out on what's available to us tonight. If we were walking in Satan's presence tonight, we would testify about how awful that presence is. Is that true? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have a different testimony. So you got to ask yourself, what atmosphere am I walking in? We have a more sure testimony tonight, friends. We have a positive testimony. We have an overcomer's testimony. Not a, I'm going to overcome, but I am an overcomer. Because we're walking in his presence. And we're casting out spirits with his word. Praise the Lord. Everything that exalts itself against the word of God is being cast down. Your feelings can't exalt themselves against the word and survive. Down they go. He said, but it feels very real. I don't care how it feels. What does the word say? Yeah. Whatever you feel is temporary. The word is forever. He has a body on the earth tonight, friends, that is terrorizing Satan's kingdom. If we're not careful, we'll focus on Satan's kingdom terrorizing us and everybody else. But there's a people on the earth tonight. Not gonna be. Not in the future. Not we're hoping that it'll happen someday. Tonight. It's happening right now. Tonight. 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 There's a people on the earth tonight that are causing Satan difficulties. Friends, we think, oh, when this is all over, I'll have victory. You've got victory already. Because Satan is already defeated. But God needs somebody to enforce his word tonight. God needs somebody to stand and hold that word out. And tell Satan you are defeated. Hallelujah. I'm in the right place tonight. I believe that I'm standing amongst those that want Satan to get into his place.
But you have to come into your place in order for him to go into his place. Because he's been in your place. So you've got to drive him out and say, look, you're not the one that's going to tell me what's going on in my body. I am. The word has declared already. You don't get to dictate how I feel. You don't get to dictate what kind of a demon can live in my body. You don't get to squat in this house any longer. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. This is holy ground. This is a vessel that's set aside for the kingdom of God. And you must give way, devil. You gotta mean it. The word has already declared it, but are you going to confess it tonight? Help us, Lord. Everything that exalts itself against the word of God has got to be torn down. Friends, I'll tell you tonight, his kingdom is come. And his will is being done on earth as it already is in heaven. The vision has already been declared. The word has already gone forth. It's outside of time. But what's taking place now in time is us recognizing what we see outside of time by a prophet. And now we're going to walk in it because it's our word. It's our day. It's scripture for us to be fulfilled in our day. Amen. He's got a body on the earth tonight. And that body is terrorizing, doing violence to Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. But too often we sit back and we wait for somebody else to be the manifestation of the word, and we don't want to confess the word revival, or we're so afraid of fanaticism, or we're so afraid of being fooled, and we're so afraid of something false. But he promised it, didn't he? Amen. And he can't lie. So I would rather step out and speak something and stand with no evidence than to stay silent until I get some kind of intellectual proof. God's waiting for somebody to step out. You step out in the natural, he'll meet you in the supernatural. Praise the Lord. You gotta chase that fear devil out of the building. I'm so afraid of making a mistake. You'll make mistakes. Get over yourself. Hallelujah. But that which is perfect is come. We have his word. And his word will never be defeated. His word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. Amen. I tell you, friends, when we get the revelation that he's the same today as he was yesterday, and that his presence is among us once again, the same today as it was yesterday, then you'll take advantage of every opportunity. You'll come every time the church doors are open. Why? Because the word has already declared it. It's already been spoken. Those that go in the rapture, there'll come a time when they can't wait for the doors to come open. It's already been spoke. Praise the Lord. And you'll come, not with doubts, but with expectations from him. Expectations that he's going to meet you. That he's going to speak to you from his word. No matter what kind of a tie the pastor wears. No matter what kind of slacks the evangelist has on. God is obligated to his word. And you'll recognize his presence. And you'll do as everyone that's named in the Bible have done when they recognize his presence. And your opportunity. You'll worship him. Amen. Friends, if your name's written in that book, you'll recognize his presence. And you'll walk in his word. And you'll see the glory of the Lord. As a many-membered body once again. You'll see him walking on the face of the earth. In complete control of a body. A many-membered body. You believe that tonight? That's what's prophesied for our day. Praise the Lord. Where are we at tonight, friends? We aren't in the dark ages. You know, we're not meeting in catacombs. We're not being nailed to a stake or burnt or fed to lions. We're not on a hill, a small hill called Luther's Mountain. We're not on a higher mountain called Wesley's Peak, if you will. We're at the highest peak of the New Testament mountain range. Hallelujah. We're at the top. And at the top, there's never been a view like this ever. No age has ever had a view like you and I do tonight. There's never been an eagle age as there is tonight. And we can clearly see where we came from. And we can clearly see where we're going. And we can clearly see where we're at. Why? Because of the position that we're at. We're not climbing the mountain anymore. We're on the mountain. Hallelujah. And we can see through that open door that opened up between the sixth church age and the seventh church age. We can see through that open door into that other dimension. And we can hear the saints from that other realm saying, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Brother Chessa's crying out tonight, keep going. Don't be sad for me. Keep going. He ran his race. Now you keep going. Keep pressing. We've all got a race to run. Mom will go home. Dad will go home. You've got to run your part. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're looking up now. We're not looking down at our troubles. Looking down at the earth. Looking down at the dust. The dust is not our destination. The skies are our destination. We're looking up because our redemption is drawing nigh. We're closer to the fullness of redemption tonight than we've ever been before. Amen. Our battles are almost over. Our time with sickness is almost over. Our sorrows are going to come to an end. Amen. Our loved ones will soon come to meet us. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will step out. Hallelujah. Say, walk with me. Glory. What a day. What a time. What an hour. The climax of the work of redemption. Not the beginning, not the middle, not the dark ages, the climax. Friends, at the end of a race, it's pretty exciting. Everybody's shouting. Everybody's screaming. There's tension. Some are rooting for this one. Some are rooting for that. The runner starts to maybe stumble a little bit. Somebody's there to give them water. Somebody's there to say, keep going. Somebody's there to high five. Somebody's there to scream out, don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Hallelujah. So let us recognize that our day has come. Let's recognize our day, our message, and not dwell on Satan's time. Oh, we're living in Satan's Eden. Big deal. His Eden is perverted. Mine's coming. Wait till you see my Eden. This is nothing. His Eden won't stop me. I'm just passing through. He can't stop me. I'm not going to lay up in Satan's Eden. I'm on a journey. I'm on a mission. I've got a goal. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hold me back. Satan's not going to work through feelings, interpersonal relationships, misunderstandings. One of his greatest gifts, one of his greatest tactics, get us to misunderstand one another, to look at one another narrowly, to question one another. This is not the time. This is not the hour. It isn't about you and me. It's about Him. And we're all looking to Him. And we're saying, Lord, have the preeminence. Take control of me, Lord. Lord, take my eyes off my brother. Take my eyes off my sister. Lord, if I got to close my eyes, as we've done when we listen to the tape, so we don't, it's not a video, so we don't get hung up on looks and how things are, but we're hearing. Lord, help me to just hear. Help me to just listen and shut down my other senses. Glory to God. Speak to me, Lord. He's faithful. Friends, don't you tell me that you're a Christian and He left you miserable. No way. You ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because it's been accounted to you to live in this hour, in this age, in this time. The prophets wanted your spot. You say, oh, I wish I could have been one of them. They want to be you. Hallelujah. You've been chosen for the grand finale. You've been chosen for the hour where Satan's getting a big old black eye. Where people are putting their foot on his neck. He's defeated, friends. Don't be afraid to say it tonight. Well, if I say that, I might get worse. No, if you say it, you might get better. Glory to God. We're living in adoption time. We're living in bride time. We're living in harvest time. We're living in the end time. We're living in resurrection time, rapture time, coming of the Lord time. What a time. Don't look for Wesley's age to repeat. Don't look for, you say, well, that would be crazy. Then why are you looking for Azusa to repeat? That's not your day. We get that plus. We get what Luther had plus. We get what Wesley had plus. I'm not looking for a repeat. I'm looking for the word to be fulfilled in my day. We've heard it. We've been listening to it. Now it's time for it to be manifested. God had to take the speaker, the vessel, off the planet. So we'd quit looking and we'd start listening. Hallelujah. And we'd go forth with that very same word. We saw what it did in his hand. Now what will it do in your hand? Praise the Lord. His presence is here, friends. His presence is amongst his people in a special time, in a special hour. You're being called tonight to come behind the veil. You're being called to do something that only one priest was called to do in the Old Testament. Only one could come behind the veil. But you're being called as members of the body. Come walk with me. Oh, hallelujah. Come behind the veil. And let the veil close behind you. When you come behind the veil, there's nobody in there but you and him. You're shut out from the world. The world can't see him. Don't worry about it. You don't need the world to say, oh yeah, he's here. Oh yeah, you're in revival. You don't need that. You're in revival. He's here. You're walking in his presence. You're hid away in a secret place. Hallelujah. His presence is hidden from the world. It's not a public show. But it is a revival. It is your revival. And that's why it's not a public show. Because it isn't a revival for anybody but you. Glory to God. This is the age, friends, when the supreme power is being given to a supreme church, to a supreme body, by a supreme deity. Hallelujah. And the power that we're working by tonight is not stolen power. Think it not robbery. It's not robbery. We're not stealing from the prophet. We're not stealing from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It has been given to us by the supreme sacrifice. The price has been paid. Now he said, now you say. Friends, we don't have to take a back seat to any devil. We don't have to take a back seat to any sickness. We don't have to take a back seat to anything. Hallelujah. There's something that's been given to you tonight. There's something that's been given to you in this hour. And it's calling you into something. And it's calling you out of something. Come out. Yeah, it's depressing in there. Come out. Get out of that atmosphere. Praise the Lord. You don't have to live in fear. Let me say that again. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in dark shadows. That's the wrong atmosphere. Yes, that atmosphere is here, but it's not for you. Hallelujah. Satan was cast into outer darkness. I don't have to walk with him. I don't have to walk in outer darkness. Hallelujah. You don't have to live under these circumstances. It's time that we step out onto the stage. Quit hiding behind the curtain here. Quit standing here saying, well, you know, I'm waiting and I'm waiting for somebody else to come on the scene. And I'm waiting for this and I'm waiting for that. And, you know, we saw the prophet on the stage, but I'm no prophet. People say if I step out there that I'm presuming and that I'm trying to take the prophet's place, the greatest compliment that you can pay a prophet is to believe his message. It's to take that word that's been placed in your hand, that's in your mouth, and put it into action. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God, friends. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let the devil rob you of anything. Don't let him rob you any longer. He's been robbing us for many years. It's time to say enough is enough. Actually, enough is too much. It's time for us to take what belongs to us. It's a time of restoration. Not a time of you can't have this and you can't have that. It's a time of you can. I can, I will, I do believe. Hallelujah. It's a time for you to take your mountain. It's a time for you to take your possession. It's a time for you to take your inheritance. And yes, there will be a squatter on your land. Or two, or three, or four. And yes, they will be bigger than any squatter you've ever seen before. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And the dumber they look. It's a time, friends, for us to talk the language of a royal family. It's the time to start speaking as a queen would speak. There's such emphasis, you know, people are still looking. You know, we've got an American princess now. I suppose that's what she is. Married Harry, prince. Is he a prince? Little Harry. He's got a big brother. But they're in the royal family. And everybody's looking, right? And they're saying, oh, Meghan, you know, she's an American. And, you know, and look, she's over there. And what's she doing? And how's she talking? And they're watching every little detail. What about you? The Queen of Heaven is on the earth. Somebody's watching you. The Queen of Heaven needs to conduct herself as a Queen of Heaven. She has rights, but she says, you know what? I'm going to surrender all my rights because I'm representing heaven. I'm representing the King. Amen. So I sanctify myself for their sake. There's things that I could do that aren't expedient, and I'm not going to do it for their sake. Because I'm a queen. Hallelujah. And not queen as the world calls a queen. The world has perverted the word queen. And it's become something vile. But friends, God had that word before the world did. Satan always puts his version up there and points to it. But God had his version first. Amen. It's time to cast spirits out with the word. It's time to say what he says. It's time to say what he's already said. Amen. It's time to say what he said with understanding, with revelation. The devil will move. He may look at you thinking, I want to squash you, but you know what, devil, you can't. You have no power. You have no authority. It's been stripped. Hallelujah. My bridegroom defeated you 2,000 years ago. He's not going to defeat you. He did. But I'm here to remind you of that tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. It's time for the Queen of Heaven to stop acting like a beggar on a garbage heap. You're not poor. You're not left. You're not neglected. Nothing's missing. You've got jewels called virtues that he's decked you out with. The world can wear the things that they pulled out of the earth that are the most precious things, but the Queen is wearing his very virtues. She's wearing things that came, that are the most valuable things there are. And you know where they came from? Not the earth. They came from God. They came out of him and are given to her. What a blessed people we are tonight. Amen. In Matthew 8, the centurion demonstrated the faith that would one day come fully back into a body. And this man knew that all Jesus had to do was just speak the word. And it would be done because every demon was subject to that word. Was subject to God. Listen to this. Who is God? Brother Branham says, in this Roman, Italian, whatever he was, he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof. And neither thought I worthy to come face you. In other words, I sent your church to meet you and ask this question, but I have faith. I know that you're a man under authority, for I'm under authority, and you don't have to come down to my house and put your hands on my servant. You don't have to come here and say a prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Notice, be sure to get this. He said, I'm a man under authority also, and if I say to this man, you go do it, he'll do it. And if I say to this man, you come here, he'll come. I'm under authority. And them who are under me has to obey me. And he knew that he was the Son of God. and that every sickness and that every demon was under him. And all that he had to do was just speak the word, not pray. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. Not pray. Just speak the word. He says, that's all. And it would be done. Because every demon would have to obey him. He says, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that tonight? Every demon will obey God. They don't have to obey me, but they do have to obey him. It has to. Everything obeys God. Listen to this. And it will obey you if you have faith. Because it's deity speaking on human lips once again. Glory to God. Joshua stopped the sun. Is that right? Somebody said, all things are possible with God. Nothing's impossible. But all things are possible to you also. When is this going to become a reality? Oh, in a way and sort of in some things. And I just got to live with this. And my dad had this problem and my grandpa had this problem. And I just reached my goal, so I guess I'm going to quit. All my steps are... Should I keep going? Okay. You want me to keep going? All right. All things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. But all things are possible to you also. You know, I think that if that's all we preach for the next year, I think we get somewhere. What's possible? All things. But what about me? All things. All things. All things. Nothing impossible to them that. How many believe tonight? Keep it simple. There's a saying in the world, keep it simple, and then they have the use the word S for something, right? Keep it simple, somebody, something. I'll just say, keep it simple, smarty. Keep it simple. Let's just take him at his word. Let's don't pre-filter it. Let's don't look at the left. Let's don't look at the right. Well, Brother Baker says that. I'm going to go the other way because I'm just feeling obstinate tonight. Don't do that to yourself. Take him at his word. Forget about me. Forget about me. Maybe you'll manifest it in a greater measure than I do. Amen? Challenge yourself to take God at his word. Say, God, I don't care. I don't care who's carrying the ball. Lord, if I'm called to block, I'm going to block. If I got to sacrifice myself to go after this negative devil, to go after that demon of long tongue, and whatever it is, I'll do that. Amen. So I'll make room for the one that's carrying the ball. Who cares who's carrying the ball? Let's just win the game. Glory to God. Well, I'm afraid that the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that the Holy Ghost born men, notice, I appreciate how he said this. He didn't say, I'm afraid that you devil, Brother John, I'm talking to you, you devil. I'm afraid that you don't know what authority. What would be the point of that? If he's a devil, he has no authority. He didn't call you a devil. He said, Holy Ghost filled Son of God. So that puts us all in that category. That means Holy Ghost filled sons of God have to come into recognition of their authority. Amen. And it's okay. Praise his wonderful name. I'm afraid that Holy Ghost born men doesn't realize their authority or the authority that God has permitted to his church. So he had to come and remind us. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I give you power over serpents. I haven't tested that one yet. I let my kid handle that one. And over all kinds of diseases. We've tested that one. And I say amen. I haven't seen anything stand before the prayer of a saint. Before the prayer of a believer. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Oh, everything. Nothing shall harm you. Oh, I love those words. Nothing. Nothing. Well, except nothing. Well, except nothing. Let me just hit on something here tonight. Is this okay? We've got things that are genetic, right? Don't let those things have more power than the Word. You didn't give that to yourself. It was handed to you. But the Word has power tonight. Listen, friends. The very Word that's changing your body, that's going to put you into another body. Can it change? Can it rearrange some things in our life now? Help us. Help us, Lord, to look to the realm of the possibility. Help us to say what's possible and not what our senses tell us. Hallelujah. 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 Help us to dogpile on needs. Somebody's dad has this. Somebody's mom has that. Brother's knee has this issue. Sister's back has that issue. Let's dogpile on those things. Say, look, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. What'll a crowd do? Let's find out. Let's find out, friends. I'll give unto you thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. I'll give you the power over serpents, over all kinds of diseases. Oh, everything. And nothing shall harm you. That's just as sure can be. There's no stock that's sure. There's no investment. There's no drug. You know, we'll travel, and I'm just amazed sometimes, you know, we're not exposed to the television, you know, on a daily basis like we were once upon a time. And so you go to an airport, or you go to a coffee shop, or you go someplace else, and you know, they've got that thing running everywhere, right? And so they'll have, you know, just the lightest person just floating around, and this person's dying of something. You know, they got some kind of sickness or some kind of disease, and they got some little jingle. They'll take a rock song from the 60s because they know that you remember it, and they'll put some nice little words to it. You know, oh, Aliva, it'll separate you from your problems. And, oh, it'll just fix you this way and that way and this way. And then at the very end of the commercial, it says, it may cause death, it may cause psychosis, it may cause the thoughts of suicide, and it may cause, and it's not for everybody. And that part is longer than what they said up front. And you're thinking, oh God, thank you for sparing me from that. I got something that doesn't have side effects. In fact, the only side effects it has is positive side effects. Positive benefits. And it's not a maybe or it should or consult your doctor first. It'll defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. The realm of the possible. Let's quit convincing ourselves why we can't have something. Let's start telling ourselves that we can. Let's bring praise to His name by allowing His Word to be vindicated in our lives. Oh God. Exercise your faith. Let it loose. Let God have His way. What is His way? To defeat that devil. To cast him out. God will grant it to you, He says. Praise the Lord. Friends, don't get me wrong. We've all been experiencing this at some levels, right? But this should be daily. This should be routine. This should get to the point where it's without thought. You know it's without thought when the first time something happens to you, you get on the phone and say, you know, you don't go through the first, second, and third pull of how bad you feel. You get on the phone and say, hey, you know, pray for me right now. You know, I just hurt my knee at work. Pray for me. Right? I don't want to be disabled. Pray for me. Amen. Right away. Right away. I'm feeling a little nervous right now, Brother Baker. Well, good. I'm glad that you're admitting that. Okay, now let's put our faith together. You have nothing to be nervous about. You have nothing to fear. Our God is God. If He's not the same today, I'm not serving Him. Because He said He was. And I'm not going to serve somebody that I can't trust or take Him at His word. But I can take Him at His word. He can't lie. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm not talking down to Him. I'm complimenting Him tonight. That's how big He is. He'll never let His word fail. So if you associate yourself with His word, you won't fail. The faith of the Gentiles has been introduced through this centurion. We're seeing prophecy being lived out in one guy. And he says, you know, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. At that time, the word was dwelling in flesh. The very creator of the universe was walking in flesh. But he said, you know what? You don't have to come where I'm at. Because you didn't have to come where I'm at to create me to begin with. You spoke. I don't know where you were at, but you didn't have to be at the end of the universe for your word to come to pass. You just spoke. And it happened. In fact, there are things that you spoke that didn't happen right away. They happened when you told them to happen. Hallelujah. So he knew, this centurion, he knew that word had power, that word had authority, and he said, just speak the word. Because he knew that when he spoke, that people would act on his word. Once again, they weren't looking at how tall he was, how many victories he had, what kind of a shield he carried, what his pedigree was. They were looking at his position. And they said, well, we got to do this. He's the centurion. The centurion said so. His word had power. Oh, hallelujah. He knew that word had authority. He knew that word had power. So friends, don't look for His corporal coming today. That's the problem of the church. That's the problem of the nominal church. They're looking for His physical coming. But He never said He would come physically first. He said there would be an appearing and then there would be a coming. He said He would come and unite Himself with you, that He would reveal Him. The Son of Man would be revealed once again, as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Noah. He said He would come down to the earth with a covenant, a rainbow over His head for a covenant people, that He would have a book in His hand open. And He would tell you, come and take this book. Eat it. Become one with it. Now say what I'm saying. That's before the meeting in the air. If we wait to meet Him in the air, we'll miss Him altogether. The church world is missing Him tonight. It's true. The church world is powerless. You know how? Oh, picket. Stop abortion. Hallelujah. Let's everybody get on board for that. Stop abortion. Yeah. And let's stop gay. And stop this and stop that. That's not our message. Our message is repent. Amen. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the promises unto you, to your children, to your children's children, to them that are far off, as many as our Lord God shall call. Amen. Amen. Let that happen, and I won't have to say one word about abortion. I won't have to say one word about homosexuality. I won't have to carry a picket around. And we won't have to have political rallies, which gets into politics. We need the power of God in a body. Amen. We need His word being lived out. Somebody is going to be a written epistle read of all men. You're going to be God's picket. You're God's sign. Amen. Let Him carry you around. Amen. To show to the world what a real Christian is. What a real marriage is. What a real housewife is. What a real businessman is. Or whatever. Student. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has come in a word coming. So don't look for a corporal coming. That's the very end. It's over at that time. You've already got to change body by then. So why would I look for something in a non-changed body that I'm not going to see until I have a changed body. Amen. You know, really, if I was going to look for something, I should look for a changed body.
Amen. Yes.
But before a changed body can come, there has to be somebody that's in full surrender. There has to be somebody that's standing in the stature of a mature son or daughter of God that's ready for a body change. Somebody that's speaking the word. Friends, these are prophecies for you and I. They are and will be fulfilled. Let's don't wait. We can take it now. We're more than able. Let's do it now. Let's walk in these things. What if I fail? Get back up. What if nothing happens right away? Try again. Put another shell in. It's going to work. What if I don't have the faith? Speak it anyway. The faith will come. You'll hear it enough that you'll actually start believing it. You'll preach to yourself. Amen. If he speaks his word and it comes into your home, guess what? The word has come into your home. The person of the word has come into your home. He is the word. And where the word is, there's power. Where the word is, there's atmosphere. So don't go home and start creating a negative atmosphere. He's there. It was spoke. It's in your home. It'll perform. It'll work on your mate. He may get more obstinate. She may get more obstinate. Your child may get more rebellious. But the word's been spoke. Amen. Just sit back. Let the word take its course. Death cannot stay where life is, friends. God is not separate from his word. When his word goes forth, he's there. Hallelujah. Where his word is, his presence is. So the Gentile faith will put his word into action. That's it. That's all we're waiting to see. We're waiting to see a body who has his word, knows what he wants done with it, has thus saith the Lord, or they keep their mouth shut, that can discern the two spirits and can withstand the Antichrist spirit so that Satan is absolutely thwarted. Come on, church. This isn't a nursery rhyme. It's not a bedtime story. I just described you. If you can receive it tonight, this is you. And you need somebody to tell you who you are. You need somebody to remind you of these things, though you know them. Isn't that what Peter said? Peter said, I want to stir up your remembrance of these things, though you know them. Well, why are you doing that? Because we need to stir up your remembrance. Glory to God. Listen to this. Now the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. You believe that? Well then, if he's the same, he's got to be the same in principle. He's got to be the same in power. He's got to be the same in every way, except a corporal body. Is that right? Then why do we think that we are missing something because Brother Branham left? Why do we think that there's something that's still got to come? The one that came never left. He's just waiting for us to recognize his presence, to take him at his word. And again, hear ye him. He says, now we believe that Christ died and rose again. You believe that? I believe the Bible teaches that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? Then if he's the same, he's got to be this. He's got to be everything the same except the corporal body. Everything the same except the corporal body. So the prophet doesn't have to be here, does he? Now that body, when it comes, time shall be no more. How many knows that? Yes, when Jesus comes in his literal body, but he comes now in the form of the Holy Ghost. You said he came in the word and the spirit are the same. Otherwise we got two gods. He come now in the form of the Holy Ghost, and he lives in his church. He said, we are the branches, and he's the vine. He just stands in us in spirit manner and feeds the gifts of the church that the church doesn't want anymore. And feeds the gifts of the church. Fivefold ministry. How many knows that? Well, in a way. He says, the things that I do, shall you do also. Can I go on just for another moment? Okay, he says, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, to justify our statement of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you should go tonight to some of our fine denominations, as the Presbyterian, or the Methodist, or Baptist, or the Church of God, or the Pentecostals, or whatever, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, I'd say to them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Sure. Well, he's the same in every way, except his corporal body. Well, there would be a question. They would say, yes, of course. But if Christ is the same, he's got to be manifesting himself just like he did. For he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father a little while, and the world will see me no more. The world, the cosmos, which means the world order, the unbeliever, will see me no more. But listen to this glorious promise. Amen. Yet you shall see me, for I, and I is a personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. You shall see me. That's his divine promise. We're not looking for anything else. Oh, it's maybe it isn't glamorous enough to the world, but they don't know what they're missing. His word has come, friends, and has quickened you, and is wanting to put you into action. He's wanting to finish his work in you. He needs you tonight. How many can accept that? How many can say, Lord, okay, if you say so, you need me. Here I am, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. You don't think I can do this. I'm going to stop. Stand up. To your will, Lord, I'll say yes. Where you lead me, Lord, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord, I'll say yes, I'll say yes. Whatever the right key is fine. Say.